أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله النعمة المهداة والرحمة المزداة والسراج المنير. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Will you who believe, be mindful of Allah as you should, and die not except in a state of Islam. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. O mankind, be mindful of your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife. Dear brothers and sisters, few weeks ago we started discussing the heart, identifying what is the heart and what's its function and what happens to it, and also we indicated quite clearly that it is probably the most important part of a human being, because it is the part that will stand in front of God on the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Where the Quran says, on the Day of Judgment, any money, children, or family is not going to be of any use, but those who go to face God with a sound heart. And accordingly, we're indicating that it's important to learn about our hearts and learn about how to cleanse them, how to keep them clear, so that when we stand in front of God, we stand there with sound hearts. And what better way than to learn about the diseases of the heart, the ailments of the heart, and how to deal with them, so that hopefully we can all try to cleanse our heart as much as possible. We went through some of the ailments that affect the hearts, and a couple of weeks ago we started discussing one of the very serious ailments that can affect the heart, and this is arrogance. We indicated that this is a very, very dangerous type of heart disease, because it can affect both knowledgeable people and can affect worshippers. So it is something that is quite dangerous, because it's all fine, you might be a very good knowledgeable person, you might be a scholar even, you might be doing your prayers and your salam and your fasting and your zakah, but it can easily creep into your heart if you're not aware of it. We then went on to indicate that there were two types of arrogance, the inward type and the outward type. The inward type is the type that afflicts the heart and does not reflect on the person's outward attitude. So it really lives inside the heart, although it does not reflect outwards. And the second type is where it gets to a further stage in the disease, and the person starts to behave in an arrogant way, not just feels it in his heart. The danger about both types is that Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة مثقال حبة من خردل من كبر. If somebody's got a very small amount, almost an atom of arrogance in his heart, then he will not go to paradise. So it is a very, very serious type of affliction. We then just touch very quickly on what is arrogance. I mean, it's important to identify what is arrogance so that we can deal with it. In the Arabic language, there are two words, arrogance, kibr, and ujb, which is the closest translation in English would be narcissism. So we are discussing arrogance, not narcissism, not ujb. The arrogance requires the presence of the disease, requires a person who's got this attitude of arrogance, and requires a person towards whom you feel arrogant, or you feel superior to that other person. And this is different to ujb. And we then try to identify the types of arrogance towards others. And the most serious type is arrogance towards God. And we indicated that Pharaoh was an example of that. where he was too arrogant to pray to God, was too arrogant to believe in God, and he told his people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your supreme Lord. Another type of arrogance towards God is, even in present day, is people who refuse to believe in God just out of arrogance. And the Quran speaks about this group of people quite clearly when it says, الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مُنْكِرَةً وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Those who refuse to believe in the hereafter, their hearts are refusing to believe the truth, and their hearts are afflicted with arrogance. Brothers, can you please move to the left side? Please move to this side so the newcomers can find a place. Thank you. Then we indicated that there was a second type, which is arrogance towards prophets. We touched very quickly on that, where we said that there were two types of people. Those who refused to listen, so that they don't even know what the truth is, out of arrogance. And these are Dalleen, which we read about in Surah Al-Fatiha. And the second type are those who listen, understand, know that God is true, know that Islam is the truth, is a true religion, but out of arrogance refuse to follow it. And these are Al-Maghdubi Alayhim. So anyway, I'm not going to go into details because we already discussed that last time. Now the third type is arrogance towards other people. And it is dangerous because it leads to a person who's got this arrogance in his heart trying to show off, becoming stubborn in opinion, and trying to belittle other people. And these are all not the proper attitudes of a mu'min, of a believer. The hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is unfortunately sometimes misinterpreted, where it says, "Man jarra thawbahu khuyala, laqiya Allahu wa huwa alayhi ghadban." That is, whoever drags his robe or his attire, his clothes, out of arrogance, will meet God, and God is going to be very angry with him. Sometimes this hadith is misinterpreted, and people think that you've got to just shorten your whatever you're wearing. This is not the idea, because the hadith says that if you do that out of khuyala, out of arrogance, because in the jahiliyyah in that time, if you were very rich, then you showed this by wearing a long robe to drag it around you, just to show that you're a very rich person. So this is arrogance. So it is not the fact that it's short or long, it's the reason why you do it. So if you do it out of arrogance, it is wrong. In the Quran it says, وَلَا تَصَغِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَمْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَمْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. The Quran says, and warning in this ayah quite clearly about arrogance, about treating people in an arrogant attitude, feeling that you're higher than them, and even the way you walk and the way you handle yourself. And it warns us against this attitude quite clearly. Now, I want to touch on the very serious and dangerous type of arrogance, which we all need to be very aware of, which is arrogance because of knowledge, especially religious knowledge, or arrogance because of good deeds. Now, if you're a good worshipper, or if God has bestowed on you some knowledge and you feel that you are more knowledgeable than other people, or that you are doing your salah and doing your zakah and you are following God's orders while other people are not doing that, that's great. It's something that God has bestowed on you. But this should not make you feel that you are superior to other people, because this is where arrogance can creep into the heart without you feeling them. The Quran says, "We gave knowledge to David and Solomon, and they both said, praise be to God who has favored us above many of his servants who believe," in Surah An-Naml. Now, they recognized that the fact that they were knowledgeable, the fact that they were following God's directions, was a bounty bestowed on them. It's not due to them, it's a bounty. So if we have got any knowledge, or if we are praying to God, or if we are believers, or if we are Muslims, it's a bounty that's bestowed on us. And this should not give us the right to feel that we are above other people. And we should also remember that God has bestowed this ni'mah on us, and He can easily take it away from us if we don't treat it properly, or if it gives us the right to start feeling arrogant. Now, in Surah Al-Kahf that we read on Fridays, there was also a touching of this on this idea of arrogance, where the person felt that because he's got a bigger garden, he's got land and he's rich, he feels that he's arrogant, and he was trying to show off towards the other person who's got less than him. And it has made it quite clear in this surah that God has taken away this. Now, these stories in the Quran are not just for us to listen to, and it's for us to listen to and try to understand and try to take heed from them. Even for prophets, Prophet Moses, who was a prophet of God, was asked by his followers one day, "Is anybody more knowledgeable than you?" And Prophet Moses, as far as he knew, he thought that he was the most knowledgeable person on the earth at that time, since God has chosen him to be the prophet. So he said, "No, I am the most knowledgeable." And he was taught a lesson when he was asked to go and see Al-Khidr, which again we read the story of in Surah Al-Kahf. And this was to teach him that no matter how much knowledge you think you have, no matter how high status you think you are, even if you're a prophet, this is something that's been bestowed on you by God. So it's nothing to be proud about, it's nothing to be boastful about, and it's nothing to feel that you're higher than other people for. Now, the other part, the other serious part of arrogance is arrogance because of good deeds. So you might not be knowledgeable, you might not be a scholar, but you might be a good worshipper. So you pray a lot, maybe you pray at night, every night, you do your zakah, you do your siyam, and then you start feeling fine. I am following God's orders, but these kafara, these people who don't do these things are below me, I am above them. This is very dangerous. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us, and there's a famous hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he says, "إذا سمعت المرء يقول الناس هلك فهو أول الهالكين." If you hear somebody saying, "Oh, these people are doomed because they don't follow God's orders," he is the first doomed person. So this is clear indication that if you are doing a lot of good deeds, it is something that's been bestowed to you, onto you by God, and this should not give you the right to feel arrogant. Please move forwards a bit, please, for the latecomers. Another interesting hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم." It is so bad for anybody, for any Muslim, to look down at a brother Muslim or a sister Muslim or another human being anyway. A very strange hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which gives us, puts these things in perspective quite clearly, is when he said, "لن يدخل الجنة أحده عمله." He said, "Nobody will go to heaven because of his good deeds." And the Sahaba asked, "Not even you?" He said, "Not even me." "Wala ana illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi rahmatih." Only if God bestows His mercy on me. And this makes it quite clear that it's all things that are bestowed by God. We don't go to heaven because we earn it. We don't do good deeds because we are done that because of our own selves. It is something that's been bestowed on us by God, and we should always treat it this way. The scholars also pointed out this point, and they said a very interesting saying, which says, "رُبَّ مَعْصِيَةٍ أَوْرَثَتْ ذُلًّا وَانْكِسَارًا خَيْرًا مِنْ طَاعَةٍ أَوْرَثَتْ عِزًّا وَاسْتِكْبَارًا." Sometimes doing a sin might be more useful, because then you might feel repentful and you might feel belittled by this sin and you might go back to God. Whereas maybe sometimes good deeds might make your heart full of arrogance and full of being full of yourself, which can also be completely counterproductive. So how do we deal with that? How do we stop this from creeping into our hearts? It's important to remember that you might be a good Muslim, you might be doing all the right things now, but you never guarantee what's going to happen to you towards the end of your life, because it is the end of your life, khawatim al-a'mal, what we are going to be doing, how we're going to be meeting God, that's going to make a lot of difference. There is a story about two brothers, one of whom was a priest staying up on the mountain just praying to God all the time, and the other one who lived a life of doing all the wrong things, drinking, fornicating, doing all the wrong things. And after 40 years of this life, the priest said, "I've been praying to my God all the time, all my life. I'd like to go down and see what my brother's doing." At the same time, the other brother had the same idea and said, "I've been doing all the wrong things and not following God's orders all my life. Maybe it's time for me to go and see how my brother is living, and maybe it's time for me to start living the right way." Both of them made their way in the opposite directions, and they both died at the same time. The one who lived all his life, the priest who lived all his life, praying to God, doing all the right things, goes to hell. And the one who lived all his life doing all the right things, is doing all the wrong things, goes to heaven. Because at the moment of death, the intention was in the opposite directions. Now, this is a story, whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. It's just, the important thing about it is to remember that none of us are immune. Nobody's immune. Nobody can guarantee what's going to happen towards the end of the life. So if you're doing all the right things now, if you are able to do a lot of good deeds, thank God for that. But remember, it is bestowed onto you by God. And don't feel that you are better than other people who do not have the chance to do these things. And always thanks God for that. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد محمد رسول الله. أما بعد. So, dear brothers and sisters, we have discussed the arrogance and the types of arrogance, arrogance towards God, arrogance towards the prophets, and more importantly, the type of arrogance that we might all be afflicted of, which is arrogance towards other people. Now, what is it that makes people feel arrogant or make people feel that they are higher than other people? Usually it's either lineage. Somebody feels that I come from this big family, from this huge family, I'm better than other people because of my family. Or money, or strength, because somebody is in a strong position. Or beauty, especially in case of women, where they feel that I look much prettier than everybody else, other women, so I feel that I'm superior to them. So all these are the sources of this affliction, and we need to be aware of them. A famous story where two men were sitting with Prophet Moses alayhi salam, and they were trying to boast towards each other. So one of the men said, "I am so and so, the son of so and so, the son of so and so, and the son of so and so," and he mentioned 9 of his grandparents, and they were all great people. So God told Moses, "Tell this man, these 9 people are in hell, and you are the 10th who's going to hell." So, coming from a strong lineage or from a good family is great. Again, it's something that bestowed to you onto you from God. It's not a reason for you to feel that you're above other people. In a hadith where Sayyidah Aisha was sitting with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman came in to ask him a question, and she was short. So Sayyidah Aisha just did that with her hand, just to indicate that she is a short woman. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around to her and said, "لَقَدْ اخْتَبْتِيهَا." She was mentioning the clear thing that yes, she is a short woman, but it made her feel that, you know, she is better than her because I am taller. It is wrong. You should not feel that you are superior to anybody because of looks or because of lineage or of course because of money, because money comes and goes, and there are endless stories. I don't need to go through these where people have been very, very rich for a while and the money just goes and disappears overnight. The same thing with power. People in power sometimes feel that they are superior to other people and forget that this power has been bestowed onto them from Allah, and the power can just disappear in no time. So, treatment for arrogance is to be aware of it. Treatment for arrogance, or as they say, prevention is better than treatment. As long as we know that it's there, we know how can it afflict us, how can it come in to our hearts, sneak without us being aware of it. This is the best way to stop it from coming into our hearts. And it's important to remember that God is the source of everything that we have, and the source of all strength or knowledge, or even the source of good deeds that is bestowed on us by God. So this is one of the afflictions of the heart that we all need to be aware of, and we need to understand ourselves and understand our hearts, because as we said before, man arafa qalbu arafa nafsu wa man arafa nafsu arafa rabbu. If you understand your heart, you'll understand yourself, and if you understand yourself, you understand your God. Allahumma tahir qulubana, Allahumma nawwir qulubana, Allahumma naqqi qulubana, Allahumma nawwir lana basa'irana, Allahumma nawwir quburana, waj'al lana nuran namshi fihi ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wazidna 'ilma. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم اجعلنا متحابين في جلالك مجتمعين على كلامك وأظلنا ظل عرشك اليوم لا ظل إلا ظلك. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم. وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله.